leaves as Part A. And, you know, we've been talking about how it's types and shadows, what it pointed to, and how, you know, last week we'd gotten into Noah. And, you know, we're leaving out so many details just because of, for time's sake. But we've seen in Noah that Noah went into the ark. And everything that had breath died in that flood. Everything that had breath. And we were showing that that was type and shadow, that God destroyed that first creation. And why he did that, because at that point in time when Adam had fallen into sin, everything of the creation that Adam had touched, he used for his own benefit. So everything had to be destroyed. But then we seen that Noah was lifted high by the waters and raised up to sit on the mountain. And we looked at that in Ephesians 2, when we were dead in trespasses and sins, but God in his great mercy hath raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ, just as he did Noah, made him sit on the mountain. I believe the scripture calls it Mount Ararat. And if you look that word up in the Hebrews, it means the curse is reversed. No more curse. No more curse. You remember we started looking at some of those curses, on the woman, on the seed. The woman would break forth in sorrow, and why that was, because that was just a type and shadow that now the increase was going to come by way of the cross. And I hope that I can show you something today. I hope the Lord will just bless us to get there, because guys, I can see it, but getting it from what I see to vocabulary sometimes is quite difficult. So I pray that the Lord would do that, because we look at those curses that woman was going to bring forth, and I know that everybody in here goes through stuff. And see, I'd be a liar if I told you wouldn't going to go through stuff. I can't stand here and lie before you, but I know there's a reason for it. Next week I hope to get into this a little bit more. I don't want to go down this trail too far. I'm going to sniff around a minute and then I'm going to back up. But the Lord allows some things to be in your life, some pain to be in there. I know that's a hard statement. He allows it. And every one of you guys are what I'm talking about. I'm not saying God causes you to have kidney stones. Don't ever think that. No, that was dealt with at the cross. All that was done away with. But he allows a thorn in the flesh, guys, and sometimes it's mighty rough. And we begin to cry out from that thorn, but he will always respond, Derek. My grace is sufficient. You know what, guys? It's just this simple. He wants us to realize his grace is sufficient. We don't understand it. Listen, guys, it's great to sing praises to God and thank him for his grace when you're walking on lily pads and the tulips is blooming. But when the dark cloud rises, he wants you to know, my grace is sufficient. I'm telling you, guys, I know this. I know this from personal experience. I don't know it because I'm some preacher that's never been touched by hellfire. I know it from the throes of it, from being on my face in the lowest depths that you could possibly be, worrying that I was going to lose everything. I'm going to tell you what, guy. I'm just going to throw this out there at you. I'm still snipping on this rabbit trail just a little bit. But let me tell you how the Lord works. I'm going to tell you as a man. Here we are on Father's Day, and as a man's man, Tim can tell you, as a man's man, One thing that we want in our life is a good reputation, isn't it, Clyde? We want a good reputation. We want to be known as a man. That's a man of integrity. That's a man of whatever. That's a hard-working man. That's a good man right there. It's a good father right there. We want to be known as that reputation. But see, the Lord will allow, because that good reputation will come in and it'll puff up. It'll make you full of pride. And I know this. And one time when I was down there with the other people I was with, on a Saturday morning, I'll never forget it. I was sitting right there. We just had a good meeting. Well, see, on Saturdays, we do our business. Do your business on Saturday. Can't work on Sunday. So we had to do it on Saturday. Well, this particular day, here come the business. And I was sitting there, and everything was good. And you know, I always carried my Bible with me. And I just did, because when I went through my mess, this Bible becomes so... Now listen, it's just a book, but to me, this thing would come alive. Sometimes I'd just rub my hand over the page and it'd just come alive. I could feel the Lord there. Not that this book had anything, guys. I got about 4 copies of the same Bible. Some of them I wore out and I just put it in the office. I bought the same copy because I know where everything's at. But they began to mock me for even carrying the Bible. Because that ain't how you're supposed to preach. You're just supposed to get up there and, you know, sling it out there. But this particular day, here I am worried about my reputation and all this other thing, and this guy gets up. I mean, you talk about hitting the face with a board, and I knew how these people were. This got up and says, I want to bring a matter to the floor for your consideration. He said, we got an elder among us that I'd like to accuse of false doctrine. Believe you me, I knew right there, and this is exactly what went through my mind, Clyde. I knew at that moment that was as equivalent. I just, well, hear my language. That I knew that was as equivalent as being called a child molester out here in the world. I knew at that moment, even though innocent, that stigma's on you from now on. You know what I mean? Even if somebody makes an accusation, there you are. Accused of false doctrine. Maybe go on to levy this out. This one stood up. Yeah, I heard him say this. Yeah, and I'm just sitting there. I couldn't believe it. Appalled. The one thing that I cared most about in my life, Clyde, the thing I cared about most, I'm a Marine, was my reputation. I'd never been accused of anything like that before in my life, especially right here in the church. The thing that I cried out to, Derek, and wanted to come back and came back with such joy. Now, I'm laying there exposed, being accused, and the ones that I thought was my friends are saying, yeah, I heard him say this, and yeah, 2 Sundays ago he said this, and yeah, when we was back over here he said this, and I talked to him on the phone last night, and he said this. Now I can tell you what I was accused of. The churches were all split up, and I had a desire in me, and see, we grew up that we were the church, we were it, Derek, and all everybody else was not. And the Lord began to show me that's wrong. God's got people everywhere, and I wanted to go up to the rest home. And Dad can tell you, we started having meetings up at the rest home. I just wanted to go into the rest home and try to do something in the rest home, and I invited Dad and some other people, whoever would come. I said, let's go. And I began to be accused for going to the rest home and saying that God had people outside of the Primitive Baptist. That was false doctrine. I was appalled. I couldn't believe it. Let me tell you what, guys, I was mad. I was mad and hurt. And then I began to question God, and I said, I mean, I began to throw my credentials at him, Derek. I did. I began to throw my credentials out at the Lord. I said, Lord, what have you done? I had a $100,000 a year job down there in Charlotte. I gave up to come back home so that I could be a preacher. I mean, I gave up thousands and thousands of dollars. I gave up all this stuff for you, Lord. understand. I said, I don't even watch TV anymore. I'm just reading the Bible 12 hours a day. And I said, I got the rest home. You showed me this stuff, and you let these people slander me like that? Now my reputation is shot. I went into the closet. I did. I went into my closet at home and closed the door and began to cry. That evening, I began to cry and say, Lord, what have you done to me? I hurt, Kathy. I hurt way down deep because that was the closest thing to me. I'm talking of me. How kids, for me, was my reputation. Lord, have mercy. I said, I'm slandered. And then I began to tell the Lord, I said, you know what? I'll never get it back. I'll never get it back, Lord. I've always been the first one here, the last one to leave. My conversation is just about you. I'm carrying the Bible with me. I gave up all of this. And you let this happen to me. And you know what the Lord answered me? Nothing. Yeah. Yeah. Left me hanging right there, Roger. Yeah. So I cried all night, and I went into the next day. Same thing. I'm just, you know, the second day, I'm getting a little frustrated now. I'm like, come on. Because I'd heard the Lord's voice before. I was waiting on Him to speak. I was waiting on Him to vindicate me. Waiting on Him, you know, to come back. I could just see myself like John and them. You want me to call fire now? Because I'm ready. I'm ready to call some fire now, Lord. You just give me the word. I could have done it too, because I was mad. Second day, you know what He answered me? Twice as much as He did the first. You know what 2 times 0 is? 0. But I'm just telling you guys, I know this for a fact, it was the third day. Isn't it amazing how it's always the third day? And this time I went in there, this time I'd become empty. I'd become empty. And I just went in there and I began to try to pray, but I realized, Derek, that I'm stupid. I don't have even nothing. I just went in there and just put my face down and the Lord began to speak. And you know what He told me? Jesus made Himself of no reputation. And I shouted coming up out of there. The thing that meant the most to me, He let me suffer the loss of it. When I'm talking about, guys, when I talk this stuff, listen, it's real. It's real. I suffered the loss of my own reputation. But now I walk in the reputation of another. That you can't touch, you can't slander, and if God be for you, who in the world can be against you? Because you ain't coming up against my reputation. My reputation is I'm dead, crucified with Christ, and He is my life. Who can bring anything, who can bring any charge to God's elect? So you want to slander me? You're dealing with Him. Because I walk in His life and His reputation. You see, God allows sometimes that pain, that sword, that He might bring for something. When I'm talking liberty, I'm talking freedom of those things. And see, now, every time, guys, I go to work. Guys, I do. I go to work and I'm sitting there and I hear these things. And you know, you're still dealing with men. And I see people's reputation and beginning to defend themselves and justify themselves and do all these things. And every time I get close to the line, I feel myself going right back there. I'll think, oh, I got to justify myself. Every time I go up there, I feel the heat. I feel the heat. And then I just back up and say, here's the boundaries of Christ. And I'm inside of that. These are the walls of salvation that surround me. I don't have to justify or vindicate anything. It matters not. It matters not because I know I step outside and go back over there and begin to do that. There's suffering in there. And see, sometimes, guys, the Lord will allow you to suffer Because it's like a surgery that he's doing with it, that the word is sharper than a two-edged sword, and it's dividing and cutting. And only he can do that. Only he can do that. And I know that's for a fact, guys, because... Let me go. I just want to show you something here. Last week when we were talking about this, when it came out, I'm going to be in Genesis 9. We'll start about 9, verse 9. Behold, I establish my covenant with you. You know what a covenant is? It's a relationship. The boundaries of the relationship. I'm going to establish the boundaries of my relationship with you. And with your seed after you. Now he's talking to Noah here, guys, but this is type and shadow. Here Noah was included in it. But he's talking about the seed here. We know that seed is Christ. And with every living creature that is with you, of the fowl, of the cattle, of every beast of the earth with you, all that go out of the ark to every beast of the earth. Guys, I'm going to tell you what, I hope to do this next week. I just want to throw something out at you. Because next week I want to talk about emotions. I believe that's where I want to go. Because guys, what he's talking about right here ain't elephants and giraffes and mongooses and chickens. He's talking about everything that's on the inside of you. I will establish my covenant with you. Neither shall all flesh be cut off anymore by the waters of a flood, neither shall there be any more be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for a perpetual generations. For perpetual generations. I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. You know, I was out working the other day, seen two rainbows. And you know, everybody just thinks, bow, rainbow, rainbow. And it shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. Now, where's the bow seen? In the cloud. Where's he gonna see the bow? In the earth? In a tree? In a spaceship? In the cloud. And I will remember my covenant which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh, and the water shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh, and the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it. What's he looking upon? He's looking upon the bow. He ain't looking upon the cloud. He ain't looking upon anything else. He's looking upon the bow. That I may remember the everlasting covenant that is upon the earth. And then he says, and God said unto Noah, this is the token of the covenant which I've established between me and all flesh that is upon the earth. The sons of Noah that went forth in the ark, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Ham is the father of Canaan. I just want to bring some things to your attention. God establishes the covenant. That word, back over here in 9, he says, I will establish the covenant. That means he accomplishes it. He confirms it. He makes it good. With every living creature that is with you, that's in union with. In union with. I was just writing some stuff down last night. I set my bow in the cloud. These things are just coming to my mind. A mediator. Because Christ is the covenant. I don't want to get too deep into that, but That word bow means to bend. To bend. And I mean, you can look that up. It means to bend. It's the same word as when Jonathan shot his bow and arrow. It was called a bow. It means to bend. And what was bending? Because there was two things together here. Because in order to make this bow, there had to be light. There had to be rain. And what was the rain? The rain, the water, was the judgment. It was the judgment. And it shall come to pass when I bring a cloud. Here's what it says in literal. It hath come to pass in my sending a cloud over the earth that the bow hath been seen in the cloud. The bow hath been seen. See, when I look at these, the bow hath been seen in the clouds. I want to talk to you just a little bit. I won't keep you real long today. I want to talk to you a little bit about this cloud. Because I began to see something about this cloud. I was looking at this cloud. And then a couple things I heard this morning, I thought, yeah, I see. Let's just talk about this cloud a second. Because this cloud, the bow is going to be seen in the cloud. Let me go to Exodus 13 just real quick. Just a couple of little scriptures here. Exodus 13, 21. The Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way. Isn't that an odd sentence? To lead them. You would think it would say to lead them in the way. But to lead them the way. By night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. So the Lord goes before them and it's called a pillar of a cloud. A pillar of a cloud. You know what a pillar of a cloud is? Oh man, that's funny. Now, he leads them with the cloud. Here's verse in chapter 16, verse 10. Came to pass as Aaron spake, the whole congregation of the children of Israel, they looked towards the wilderness and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared where? In the cloud. He said, I'll see the bow in the cloud. And now we got what? The glory appearing in the cloud. Now I want you to think about this. Most religious today has got something that they worship. Now, I mean, you know, Hinduism and all this other stuff. But can you imagine Israel? Where's your God at? I mean, they didn't point to the sun. They didn't point to the moon or a river or alligator or a rhinoceros. We got a cloud. Now, doesn't that sound stupid? What do you worship? A cloud. What do you do? Why do you come out on a clear day and there's no clouds in the sky? Where's your God at? This is what they had that led them, guys. This is what they had was a cloud. And the glory appeared in the cloud. It was a pillar of a cloud. This cloud moved. Cloud. Let me just stay right here in Exodus and go to and the word cloud there. What it says. It's a thunder cloud. Exodus 40 and 31. All right, 34. Then the cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. So we see, he covered the whole thing with the cloud, and right in the midst of the cloud, the glory filled the temple. Cloud covered the tent, the glory filled the temple. Let's look at Leviticus 16 and 2. And the Lord said unto Moses, speaking to Aaron thy brother, that he come not at all times into the holy place within the veil before the mercy seat, which is upon the ark, that he die not, for I will appear in the cloud upon the mercy seat. Now I've got a, when I see my bow and the glory, and then he says, and I will appear. See, this is what I want to tell you guys. This is the difference when things come around. I know we have a natural rainbow, but let me just tell you something. God ain't looking at the natural rainbow when he's looking into the clouds. What he was looking at was his son. See, that was a type and shadow out there, them rainbows, and yes, they're beautiful. I love to look at them, take pictures of them and all that other stuff. But God ain't looking at a rainbow out there. God is looking at his son. When I see my son, who is the glory? The Lord appeared in the tabernacle, pillar of a cloud. Now just think about this. I want to show you something here. Are you not the temple? Are you not the temple, the tabernacle, the temple of the living God, Paul says? And I didn't even realize this. I looked the word up. Why is it always a pillar of a cloud? God set this pillar of a cloud. I looked up the word pillar. And you know what it means? Standing. My God, God had a witness of resurrection. Cloud always set before their face. Everywhere they went was a type and shadow, nevertheless, of the resurrection. And they couldn't go except the cloud move. And the cloud led them wherever they went. They had to go by way of the resurrection. The pillar of cloud to lead them the way. The way is what? Life. That's why Paul would say what? You are the temple when it pleased God to do what? Reveal his son. Where? In the cloud. In you. And when he reveals his son, how is Jesus declared to be the son? He's declared to be the son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead. This one who works in you, we've been talking about on Wednesday night, this one who works in you mightily. That's why, guys, you know, like next week, when I talk about these emotions and all these things, I want you to see there's one who's working in you mightily. And I know we don't always think that. We lose sight of that because we look at everything, we judge everything and say, well, why don't you fix this? Why don't you stop this from happening? Why don't you get this squared away? Let me tell you something. Do you think anybody else could have dealt with me and my reputation like the Lord did and made me free? My gosh, a whole man standing is about his reputation in the cloud. You're not a man if you lose your reputation. Well, I had surgery and it hurt. That's the reason I don't, you know, most of the times I don't care. Some people say, well, gosh, you don't dress right to be a preacher. It's that to me. I'm clothed with Jesus Christ. Yeah. What more could I be clothed in? Well, you know, what if you do this? What if you say this? Who cares? I can guarantee you stay with me long enough and I'm going to say some stupid stuff. Promise you. That's just because I don't have the brain capacity to say good stuff very often. I know my mouth don't look very big, but I can get both feet in it. I've done it. But you know what? I don't have to go around and try to vindicate myself or justify myself or worry about my reputation. Declared to be the Son of God with power. Now I'm going to draw you a picture in just a minute, but go to Psalms 99:7. have Psalms 99. And to skip. He spake unto them in the cloudy pillar. They kept his testimonies and the ordinance that he gave them. He spake unto them where? In the cloudy pillar. I'm just giving you a few verses. You can find about 600 references. 105, Psalms 105 and 39. He spread a cloud for a covering and a fire to give them light in the night. This cloud, I began to see something in this cloud. Remember, he covered them with the cloud. He covered them with the cloud and guided them with the cloud. Then this verse just came to me right here, and you're going to say, there's nothing to do with the cloud here, but you'll see. God, Hebrews 1:1, God who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. Hath in these last days spoken to us in Son, whom is the appointed heir of all things, by whom he also made the worlds. Another verse here. Ezekiel 1. I'm going to start in verse 27. Now you know Ezekiel here, he's in the land of Chebar. Is that how you pronounce that? Chebar. The heavens were opened. He saw visions of the Lord, and he saw the chariots and the wheels and the living creatures and all these other things. But right here he says, I saw as the color of amber, as the appearance of fire round about him. And we've been talking about a cloudy pillar of fire, a cloud. And now he says this fire was round about within it. From the appearance of his loins even upward, the appearance of his loins even downward. This is a man of fire right here. I saw as it were the appearance of fire, and it had brightness round about, as the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud. See, Noah saw it. But now Ezekiel is about to bring it into some more definition. As the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud in the day of rain. I wonder what he's referring to right there. So was the appearance of the brightness round about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I jumped for joy and told all my friends about it. Denise must have a different Bible than I got. When I saw it, I fell upon my face. And I heard a voice of one that spake. See, guys, this is, once you begin to see this glory, guys, then you're not these. I'm going to the Lord about all these other things, but see, in the midst of the darkness of the cloud, finally I'm up on my face, I began to hear the voice of one who speaks. And he wasn't just uttering stuff. I wasn't hearing somebody talking. When I look at these verses, I think, my Lord and my God, this is God Almighty speaking through His Son. And He ain't just talking to a tree. He ain't talking to a rock or to a fish. He ain't even talking to Patty. He's talking to me. This is what confounded the Hebrew people, that the God Almighty would even speak to them. See, they didn't walk around in this arrogance like Christians do today, like I did, that God was my servant, and if I pray, He's obligated to do it. They were amazed that He even spoke. Why do you think the psalmist says, what is man that you're even mindful of him, Clyde? Holds the universe in the palm of his hands and weighs it all, and it's found wanting, it's found as being vanity. What is God that He wouldn't even speak to you, Derek? But this verse says, and he spoke to me. Lord and my God, he spoke to me, Roger. I'm on my face, right? I mean, we just read it. I heard the voice and I'm on my face. And he spoke to me and said, son of man, stand upon thy feet. And I will speak unto thee. I'm going to tell you what. I don't know if you've ever had this encounter, but this is a life-altering encounter right here. And if you haven't had this encounter, it's waiting on you. It's waiting on you. Let me just go over and see if he was the only one who had this encounter. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. I turned to see the voice that spake with me. Being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. I see you guys got to think, here's John on the Isle of Patmos. Here's behind him a voice. Turns as he's turning, he sees the seven golden candlesticks. Now see, we could stop right there and spend the rest of our time preaching the seven golden candlesticks. But they wasn't speaking. They wasn't speaking. They wasn't making any noise. They're just standing there. But I just kept on turning. Because I had to hear the source. I had to see the source of this voice, Roger. And in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, one likened unto the Son of Man clothed. Now this is exactly what Ezekiel just saw. This one's clothed. He's clothed with fire. And the pillar, the same cloud and pillar that led them the way and led them all along. And now I'm seeing the source of it, the bow that is in the cloud. You see, the last time they had seen Jesus, the one and all the earth had seen Jesus, what kind of shape was he in? He was stripped naked, hanging on a cross, dead. It's not like the movies with the loincloth. He was naked. They stripped him and sold his clothes and hung this man on a cross. Prophesied over him and said, well, if he's a prophet, if he's who he said, why don't he save us? He saved others and he can't save himself. But now he's clothed. I mean, this is God answering his prayer. Father, glorify me with the same glory as I had with thee before the world was. This man is clothed in glory. And John is about to see, perhaps with a golden girdle, his head, his hairs were white like wool, white as snow, eyes were a flame of fire. His feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice is the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I went and told all my buddies what a great thing this was, and they need to go to church with me. Roger got a different Bible. I got two. You and Denise must have the same copy. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. Now remember what happened to Ezekiel, son of man, stand up on thy feet. What's he say right here? When I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying, fear not, I'm the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of hell and of death. I have the keys. We were talking about some keys there Thursday, wasn't we? We were talking about some keys. I have the keys keys of hell and death. Keys of deliverance. Keys. He's the key. He could just say, I'm the key. I'm the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. I'm the door. I'm the glory. See, when you begin to see these things, I mean, this is not just something I'm made unto you, all that I am. This is the real deal. And we have to learn this. And it's hard for us to learn this. It's hard for us to learn when you're about to lose everything that you can lose nothing because you got Him. You see, I looked around at everything and I know I didn't just think about losing it, I lost it. I'm talking natural stuff too, and I began to cry out, Lord, God, what are you doing to me? And see, now, you know what I say? They can have it all. It means nothing to me. What do you mean it means nothing? Can I have your car? Well, look, I've had them taken before. I know what it's like to have nothing. But in the midst of that nothing, find everything.
Yes,
I wouldn't trade it for the world. I used to hear this old preacher say, you just give me bread and water and Jesus. I thought you can have the bread and water. Just give me Jesus. More than I could ever need. I mean, could you imagine? Abraham, I am thy shield and thy small-time reward? No, thy exceeding great reward. I mean, you know, we have people look at these things and they say, well, I'm the Lord, I come quickly, and my reward's with me. Kathy, you've been doing a good job, and here you go. Let me give you $3. Go put this in your bank. I got to go on vacation. That's my reward. My God, He's the reward. He's the reward.
Amen.
And it's hard to believe that He stands there and says, I'm the reward. God has given you this great thing for you to come and partake of. But Jesus says, but you won't come to me. Listen, that's got to be real in your heart. Because I looked around and I began to judge everybody else and say, well, they're not coming to the Lord. They're not coming to the Lord. I have. We come to the Lord as long as He fits our style. As long as He's a good old country boy, Clyde, then we like Him. But when that sharp two-edged sword comes out of His mouth and begins to cut and you begin to hurt, you begin to cry out to Him, but He's taking something away. We don't like it. And you know, nowadays, we blame it on the devil. I'm going to tell you what, this wasn't the devil doing anything to me. This was the Lord making me free, but it hurt. At the time, it hurt. Paul said, I suffered the law. Listen, he said, I didn't just lose everything. I suffered the loss of it. See, you ain't supposed to preach suffering on Sundays. Everybody's supposed to have joy and jumping and like orangutans swinging on limbs and hanging by their tails, and it's great. I'm telling you what, it hurts sometimes. That's why we're here gathered together as a group, as coming into fellowship. Because let me tell you something, and here's the one thing I learned. You can't do this alone, and you was never meant to do it alone. That's why we lay hands on one another. That's why each joint ministereth one to another in the church. That's why it's a body that comes together that He's the life of and supplies the members. That's why it's so important. Guys, it's so, so important. Look, I only had a little bit, but I want to draw you a little picture here and I'll be done. You guys know when Adam sinned. See, before God just dealt with Adam. Adam was already naked. He didn't make Adam in a three-piece suit, did he? I mean, He didn't make Adam with some Under Armour stuff on. and some Levi's. He just didn't do it. Adam was there naked, but he was clothed with purpose. He was clothed in the goodness of God. And when he stepped outside of that, in order for God to deal with him, now see, people forget, we just think mercy and grace, and because we don't understand them things. Listen, God is righteous. And when one has sinned, he has no other choice. His brightness, when you become the darkness, what happens to darkness when you turn the light on? It's gone. So in order for him to deal now with Adam, he had to clothe Adam. He clothed him with skins. Clothed him with skins. Why am I telling you this, guys? Because Israel, Adam was a type and shadow, but Adam was going to become Israel. Follow his lineage out through Seth and Abraham and all. He was going to become Israel. And so how did God have to deal with Israel? Israel, who, because of the transgressions, God did what? Covered them. He covered them in a testimony of his Son. You see what I'm talking about? He covered Israel with the testimony of a son. And he led them and he spoke to them in the cloud. Well, I just showed you those scriptures. He spoke out from the cloud. Now, you remember what happened on the Mount of Transfiguration? They go up into the mountain. I was looking at this last night. And you know, before they heard any voice, a cloud covered them. A cloud covered them, and out of the cloud the voice spake, "This is my beloved Son, hear ye him." But the cloud had to come there. I was looking at that verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. It says, they were all baptized unto Moses, they were baptized in the Red Sea, they were baptized into the cloud. Baptized into the cloud. Now, I got to get in dangerous ground right here. Got to go to Acts. Being assembled together, Acts chapter 1, verse 4, commanded them that they should not depart Jerusalem, but wait for the promise. Don't depart. Wait. Wait for what? Wait for the promise. This is the thing we've been talking about on Wednesday night. And the promise, the promise, the promise, the promise that was given to Abraham. What was the promise? There's going to be an heir. There's going to be a seed. Wait for the promise from on high. Why is that? Because John truly baptized with water, but you should be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Guys, listen, there ain't two baptisms. One baptism, go read Ephesians. One baptism. Well, I thought it was water. And then after I get water, then I got to go get the fire. There's only one baptism, and he's in it. You're baptized into him. You're baptized into his death. They were baptized into his death. And what was his death called? The cloud. They were baptized into the cloud. You're baptized into him. Know ye not, as many of you have been baptized into Christ, been baptized into his death? Are you getting the picture? I'm just going to skip down to verse 9. And when they had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up in a cloud. And a cloud received him out of their sight. While they looked steadfastly towards heaven, he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which said unto him, "You men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven." Now, I just want to throw something out at you. I'm going to draw you a picture. Now, just remember, Jesus has been crucified and raised again, and he spends 40 days with them. 40 days telling them these things, walking with them, leading them. And then as he's about to depart, he says, "Go up to Jerusalem and stay there until you receive the promise." Not another word about the promise, but the actual thing. Can you imagine this? The promise that God had spoken to Abraham. is just about to take place. The greatest thing in the history of the universe, Roger, is about to take place. Now, you would think that nations would be gathered together for this, but only about 500. There wasn't but 120 waiting for the promise in the upper room, was it? 120 people waiting for the greatest thing prophesied of God to ever be. He spends 40 more days preparing these people. Takes them out and is received up. I wonder if their minds go back to Elijah. Because what did he tell them? Oh, Elijah said, Elijah. Because Elijah said, I want a double portion. Forget about the double portion, guys. Forget about the double, because I know what we do with it. I'm going to have twice as much spirit. I'm talking resurrection life. Okay? What double portion meant to the Hebrews means he had the rights of the firstborn. Jesus is what? The firstborn. Firstborn out from among the dead. So Elijah asked for a double portion, and what did Elijah tell him? If you see me when I'm taken up, to come to the River Jordan, he takes off his mantle, swipes, hits the water, and parts. They walk through it. And then it says, the chariots of the Lord and the horses of fire, the horses of the Lord. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind. Elijah was taken up. Could you imagine? Here now, these men now are watching the same thing. They're watching the fulfillment take place. They're watching the fulfillment take place of exactly what Elijah saw. And they're watching and they're standing and they're gazing up into heaven. Now see, this is, I know what we do with these verses right here, guys, but let me tell you what the Lord is doing with these men at this particular time. It's a great transition. Because at this very moment, these guys are standing, looking, and Jesus is taken into a cloud out of their sight. They're looking into heaven. Guys, I spent 45 years looking up. So finally, these two men that stand by in white apparel, they finally say, why do you stand gazing up? Now listen, where did he tell them to go? He said, guys, go back to Jerusalem till you receive the promise. But the same Jesus went up. And you would think the way it is, you better be looking. And we go outside and we look in the clouds. And we think he's going to come back into that. But this was a great transition, guys. A great, great, great transition. Look, let me do you something right here. I don't know if I can get all this down. That's a mountain. And right here, it's a cloud. I know they don't look like a cloud, but that's a cloud. You remember the Lord brought them up how? On the eagle's wings? You remember the ark? The ark raised above all this stuff. Seated together. Raised together. But here's this cloud. You remember in Exodus, they come up on the mountain. They looked, and the mountain was covered with smoke and with fire and with a cloud. And they looked, and they did tremble, and they did shake. And they said, Moses, we don't want to hear his voice anymore. You go up. And Moses went up into the cloud, spoke with God. You know what this is right here? Let me just say this. This is Mount Zion. This is Mount Zion. And we're all what? Baptized into the cloud. Into the cloud. Here we are. Let me just write this. Baptized into Him. I got to look at my picture. Now remember what he said, I will set my bow in the cloud, right in the middle of the cloud. I will set my bow. You remember what he said, that where I am, there ye shall be also. I mean, is that true? He descended. Now see, these guys are down there looking for something natural, but now I'm talking about a transition into the spiritual. Jerusalem above, which is free, and the mother of us all. Jerusalem, which is below, generous is from Hagar, and generous to bondage. So in this thing, in this cloud, remember we had chariots and horses. I mean, we got all these things. And look, this cloud here, remember I told you God had to clothe them? He clothed them with what? The testimony. Now where does the voice speak? The voice speaks from the cloud. In this cloud was the judgment. And the voice speaks. Now remember Abraham? Abraham is down here. Abraham is one from faith. And you remember what the scripture says, from faith to faith. Right here, Mount Zion, God's highest thought, God's peak. This mountain where the ark rested. The ark, I'll put it like this, rested. The ark rested. You know what he told John always in the scriptures? And I mean, this is the way it is. He said, John, come up higher. Come up higher and I'll show you something. Come up higher, John. Come up higher. Now see, we're already seated here in heavenly places because we're baptized into the cloud. But here's where we spend most of our life. And this thing here, let me tell you what it is. It's called the thick darkness. Where we don't know anything. We don't understand anything. Roger asked me the other day, does darkness reveal light or does light reveal light? I'm going to tell you what reveals light. God. I didn't know how to answer that, and I was thinking over it. He said, God has to reveal it. Not darkness, not anything else. Will it please God to reveal His Son? And right in the middle of this, you couldn't get to this place. But right here, this is called the way. Right in the middle of it. Heaven opened, and I saw heaven open. And one standing there. The bow. The glory. There's a way. And that way is through the cloud. And let me tell you what this cloud does. Because we get outside of this. This is the straight and the narrow. We get outside of this, and what do? We get back into the darkness. But see, in this place, there is no sun and there is no moon because He's the glory thereof. Right? The Lamb is the light thereof. Let me just read you a couple verses here. Listen to this. You guys go up to Jerusalem and wait. 120 of them, they go up, they're waiting. Now remember, they've been down here. They seen something disappear in a natural cloud right here. They don't understand what's taking place. They're just waiting. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a mighty rushing wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them. See, now this thing has done got a hold of them, Clyde, because before, the clouds out in front, the fiery pillars out in front, they're falling around, and now this thing has done set right on them. Now this thing has done latched right on top of them. You see what I'm talking about? Now, he said, go wait to receive the promise. Now, see, to them before it was afar off, and now this thing is on them. Actually, it's in them. Feel them. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in their own language, and all were amazed. Let me just skip over. And they began to, others mocked. These men are drunk. They're full of new wine. But Peter, standing up. My God, isn't that what he told him, son of man? Stand up on thy feet. I was on my face as dead, and now stand up. Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken unto my words, for these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. See, these men, these prophets, they looked into this place. But listen, you can't see beyond this cloud except one way. How? By faith. Faith is the only thing that penetrates this cloud that can look beyond. And see, these men, Joel and Noah and Isaiah and Ezekiel, saw by faith. We read this in the Hebrews, don't we? They saw by faith. They were looking by faith at this very thing that Peter is about to tell them. This was that they saw by faith is about to become a reality. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams. What do you mean, pour out my spirit? You know what this is right here? This is the most holy place. Right here in the tabernacle. There it is. You know what this was? This was the veil. That's the most holy place. What did Ezekiel see coming out of this thing? What did Ezekiel see? Ezekiel saw a river, didn't he? A river that come right out from the bottom of that throne, that come right out. Now look, he said, I'll pour out my spirit. You see, now this way is open. And on my servants and handmaids I will pour out in those days my spirit. They shall prophesy. I'll show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath. Blood and fire and vapor of smoke. This is the same thing they had seen over in Exodus, wasn't it? The sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood before the great notable day of the Lord. What's that? Transitioning from the natural to the spiritual. We know that was old natural creation. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever, Jew or Gentile. Because this thing here is flowing out to all. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of ye, as ye yourself know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken him by wicked hands, have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden up. And listen to those words. It was not possible for him to be holden of it. For David spoke of him, concerning him. I foresaw the Lord always before my face. Now you know why David was a man after God's heart. Because he had his eyes on the Lord. I always saw him before my face. For he is on my right hand that I should not be moved. You see what happens when the Lord is before your face? You can't be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life, the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us today. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him, that at the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, this one, the one that was approved by you, signs and miracles, this one that we took by our wicked hands and crucified and slain, this God hath raised him up. Yes. And we're all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, a name which is what? Above every name. And having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this, which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made this same Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. I don't know if this thing gets a hold of you or not, but it gets a hold of me. God hath made this same Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their ears and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? See, this is what happens when you begin to hear this voice. You're pricked in your hearts. What shall we do? I mean, this is where you got to come to. This becomes a cry of your heart. And there's an answer here, but this must come. Can you imagine these guys that just realized, my God, God hath raised this man up. This is the thing that was, everything we've ever known is gone. It's over with. God has poured, this is the promise. My God, now what do we got to do? If we don't get a hold of this now, we're lost forever, cut off. We got to do something. This is it. This is the end of the world. What shall we do? What does Peter say? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized. Now see, we all think Peter's going out there to the river and jumping him into the river. But you know where Peter's at? Peter is done called up right here with the Lord. Called up with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob into the cloud. Called up already with him. And he's hollering back down there and says, come on into the cloud, guys. Come on into the cloud. Come on into the cloud, people. Be baptized. Right here, come into the cloud. Come into this thing, be baptized. And you know what this cloud does? It covers everything till there's only one thing seen. And that's him. And that's what happens. And this is the thick darkness that we come into. See, we think the thick darkness, Derek, is that we're lost and undone. And we're out here and we don't know what's going on and we don't hear anything. We think the Lord has forsaken us. He ain't forsaken us. Look where we are. Right here in the daggone cloud. Right here next to glory. Right here on top of the mountain. That's why he said, guys, you haven't come to a mountain that burned with fire. You've come to Mount Zion. You've come to the heavenly city, Jerusalem, innumerable company of angels, and to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, the mediator of a better covenant. You think you're in darkness and the Lord has forsaken you, but you're right here in the wellspring of life, called up to the throne. What should we do? Come into the cloud. Come into the cloud and be baptized. drink of this water that flows, because that's what he says, isn't it? Let him who has the thirst come and drink of the water of life. Freely come, freely receive. That's the whole thing right here. I'll set my bow in the cloud, and when I see my bow, I will remember my covenant. I will remember it when I see my bow. My God, that's what he said in Thessalonians. We shall not prevent them. That means, guys, we're not going ahead of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But he said all together, that's why he said in Galatians, blessed with faithful Abraham, not blessed ahead of him, not blessed behind him. Call up where? Call up into the cloud, the real cloud, the cloud that he says, we're compassed about with what? So great a cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside the sin that doeth so easily beset us. I got one more little thing to draw up here. You know what's up here? An anchor. Now this is odd, isn't it? Because usually an anchor, you're thrown down. But look, when you've got an anchor, you got an anchor, Derek, that's holding you up, not an anchor pulling you down. Let us lay aside the weight and the sin that doeth so easily beset us, because you're here. Here's what happens. You think you're hooked down here, but the cross cuts them ties. The sword cuts them ties off. You're held by this. You're anchored up.
Yes.
You're not anchored down, Patty. Yes. You're anchored up. And if you're in his hands, what does he say? Who can pluck them out of my hands? Who the God has given me? Who can pluck them out of my hands? And I'm just going to quit with this one verse right here. I know this is talking about the Lord, but Christ is in you. And he said, I was young and now I'm old. And this one thing I've never seen. The righteous forsaken, or the seed begging bread. God bless you.